On this episode of Still Loading, shuck it, Trebek. Hey guys, it's Josh, and welcome to the newest episode of Still Loading. On today's episode, it is not going to be the most, how can I really explain this, the most engaging one, to say the least. I'll do my best. But this episode, I covered the game Jeopardy, the 25th anniversary edition for the NES. And the one big takeaway I got from this game is I'm fucking stupid. I don't know half of this shit. Now, to be fair, part of the game, it suffers. We'll go into what it suffers from in a second. But first things first, as usual, let us jump into the box art. And by that, I mean just a picture of the Jeopardy set with a big number 25 and a big anniversary edition text thing and the Nintendo seal of quality. Honestly, kind of unimpressive. Really unassuming. So that pretty much is it. I mean, it's a very 80s version of the Jeopardy set, but you get the idea. The other thing that I thought was interesting about it, before I jump into the actual gameplay, which isn't anything special, let me tell you, it's not bad, but it's Jeopardy. Anyway, I'm honestly amazed. There's a 30-page instruction booklet on how to play Jeopardy. Like, it is a thick pamphlet. I'm really surprised by it. The developer of this appears to be Game Tech. The biggest names are on our games. We are the high-tech electronic entertainment company that puts you in the picture with exciting home versions of television's top game shows for adults and kids, and innovative new fun-filled gameplay for preschoolers. I've said this before, grammar's never been my strong suit, but I feel like it's a run-on sentence. I mean, that is three lines. Anyway, this software includes games the whole family loves, games that they can play either together or alone against the computer. Game Tech's Nintendo version of Jeopardy, the 25th Anniversary Edition, is fast-paced and full of surprises, just like the original Jeopardy Nintendo game, and the Jeopardy Junior Edition. And just like the television show that has been a family favorite for 25 years, be the first to press the buzzer and enter the correct question, and the cash is yours. So now my question is, okay, so this looks like it came out in 1990, I want to say? That's what the copyright on the back is, so I'm assuming it. But no, so pretty much it just the manual just goes into literally how to do everything, how to use. They have a whole two-page spread for how to use the controller. Then they all, because I guess we take it for granted, but we know it instinctively now, because we've had, you know, 30 plus years of video game experience. This is realistically at the rebirth of it, you know, like 5 years later, because the NES came out in 85, this is 90, so video games are coming back into the mainstream consciousness, and so I guess not as many people knew how to use the D-pad. It should be intuitive, but whatever. Then it tells you how to set up the game, how to play Jeopardy. It has a whole, wow, it goes and it breaks down every single thing. It literally breaks down every single outcome that you can run into. You know, like, what if no one answers? What if everyone answers wrong? What if you get everything correct? That kind of thing. I'll be honest, I got most of these questions wrong. Half of it is because, I'll be honest, I don't know. A lot of these questions are things that are never on my radar. So, after playing this, I realized I'm not that smart. So, I need to start, like, teach. I don't know. I just need to start gaining knowledge, I guess. This game makes me feel stupid. The other half of it, the biggest flaw with this game. We'll go into the biggest flaw first, because I actually think this game is actually kind of fun. I would totally play this again. But the biggest flaw is, it kind of is what, like, old school, like, adventure games suffer from, where you need to know the specific phrasing, if that makes sense. You know, like how Zork is, that kind of thing, where you have to type in your commands. So, for example, there was a quotes from literature section, and the word was honor. Now, I didn't know the answer, I'll be honest, so I had to look it up, but it was like the way the quote was written, it was spelled honor with a U. It's, you know, H-O-N-O-U-R. But since this is an American game, they wanted it spelled the American way. With just the O-R, not the O-U-R at the end. So, I typed in the O-U-R, got the question wrong. Someone typed it in the computer typed it in the O-R, got it right. I'm like, that's garbage. Like, that's the same thing. But since it's an NES game, you have to be specific. There was another one I looked up, and it was like, who has, they are known for saying this slogan. It was the Greyhound bus slogan, so I'm just put bus drivers. But no, the full answer was Greyhound something buses. And I'm like, why would you know that specific? Like, I could understand maybe including the word Greyhound in it, but not necessarily. Like, why would it have been Greyhound bus drivers? But that wasn't the answer still. It's crazy. I don't know how to... It's just too specific. The answers you need are too specific. What I ended up doing was I just looked up an FAQ online, and I just started doing a Control-F real quick and finding everything that I needed. So, the gameplay itself is pretty solid. What's interesting, though, is you have a timer for everything. So, when the question goes up, all three contestants, including the computers, have 9 seconds to buzz in with an answer. Once you have buzzed in, you have 40 seconds to type in the answer, because it's, you know, there's no keyboard on the NES, at least not to my knowledge, at least not first party to my knowledge, where you have, but you have to type it in all in manually, letter by letter, by moving the cursor with a D-pad. And it takes a while, so they allow you 40 seconds to type in the answer, which is really nice. And depending on how short the answer is, that gives me generally just enough time to do a Control-F on the FAQ, find the answer real quick, and type it in. So I was real good at cheating. That's how I got all my money back. I was down, like, before I started doing that, I was down, like, $1,000. But yeah, so it's a tough game, especially if you're not good at trivia. Like, I'm not the greatest at trivia, so, unless it's, you know, video game related, but other than that, and that's not going to be in there. But yeah, it was interesting. The shining part of it, the thing that I enjoyed the most about it, actually, was surprisingly the music. Now, during the game segments, there wasn't much, but the title screen blew me away. The Jeopardy theme on the title screen was practically spot on, and it was a really good arrangement of it, which surprised me as well. It sounded very full, especially for an NES. And it had a cool, not in terms of sound, but in terms of the visuals on the title screen for the game, it had a really cool effect. It had like a globe and then the letters going around it, like they're orbiting the ball or the globe. And I was surprised that they took the effort to figure out an animation like that on the NES for a Jeopardy game. It was a really strange idea. But, well, not strange in a bad way, but it was kind of like awesomely strange. Like, why would you take your time to do that? No one's going to care. But it seems like they genuinely put a lot of care into this, because otherwise, why would you take the time to arrange the Jeopardy theme so meticulously? Maybe they were under, like, contractual obligations from Jeopardy, like, you have to have quality type of thing? I don't know. But, yeah, so it was interesting. I really enjoyed it. It's definitely tough, especially if you're not good at trivia. There's a lot of stuff I did not know. So I might use this as an actual, like, teaching tool for me, so I can start getting better at trivia stuff. But, so in any case, interesting things that I came across towards the end of the game, and we're kind of, like, wrapping things up, because unfortunately, it's just Jeopardy. There's not really much to talk about with it. It's Jeopardy. You've watched the TV show 1,000 times. It's a trivia game show. But what I thought was kind of funny is on the last couple things, after it's done describing Double Jeopardy and Final Jeopardy and the Daily Double and how to play and that kind of thing, there's a message to the players on page 18 of this. It goes, "This cartridge uses a program which will randomly access data. At the end of play, the file is cleared and made available for future play. This is very much like shuffling a deck of cards after each game. Categories and questions are always selected at random by the computer. So although there are almost 2,000 questions and over 400 categories, repetition will occur. If repetition does occur and you wish to reshuffle the file, press the reset button. This will initiate a new game and reshuffle the questions and categories in this file." Number two, that's the second point, is this game has been programmed to utilize the full TV screen. Since some older model TVs have rounded screens, a portion of the image may be blocked out. Wow, so they're talking about the people who still have older TVs. That's amazing. Hints on gameplay. Words should be spelled as accurately as possible, though some very minor misspellings may be accepted. Be sure to check the spelling of a completed word before you scroll the cursor to end, which is, you know, how you select, you choose the end button to select it in, to lock it in. You can erase letters by scrolling the cursor with the button, with the arrow button and the correction symbol. You must do this before you scroll to end. If your question deals with a person's name, try to give both the first and last names. That's garbage, because there was a question that it was with a person, the answer was a person, but it was just their last name. I cannot remember for the life of me now, but it was just their last name. If your question deals with numbers as part of the name, such as World War I or King Henry VIII, bullshit, that's all I'm saying. So then, if your question is shown as who are or what are, be sure to answer in the plural form of the word. Oh, that's even nice. You're teaching you a little bit of grammar there. If your question, I don't know why question is in quotations, calls for a pair of words or names, be sure to enter them in the order most commonly used, such as bow and arrow, not arrow and bow. That's also garbage. I mean, I get it, because the NES only has so much space, so to program all variations is crazy, but commonly used, that's very subjective, because what if you grew up in a place where for some reason arrow and bow were more common than bow and arrow? You'd be fucked. I'm just saying. Anyway, spacing between the words is optional. You can connect this is crazy. When playing against a computer, an incorrect question inserted by the computer might look something like, oh, that's weird. Yeah, so I noticed this in the game too. What this, like, bullet 8 for, like, hints or tips for players or whatever, if the computer tries to guess and it's wrong, it'll just put in a bunch of random letters and symbols. This is not a bug in the game, but rather an unrecognizable word programmed for the computer to make an error. And then it goes, yes, it really does, in parentheses. That's funny. And safety precautions, this is a high precision game. How do you have a high precision game pack? Like, what kind of an adjective does that mean? Like, why are you using that? Precision game pack. What's precise about it? I don't get their marketing. I don't understand it. I guess if you're a kid and you didn't know what the word precision meant, it sounds really fancy. So, I don't know. That's strange. Anyway, avoid temperature extremes. When storing it or unnecessary shock when moving it. Terminal connectors should not be touched and allowed to get wet or dirty, blah, blah, blah. Never attempt to open or take apart. Yeah. So, yeah, all this weird safety precautions. There's even compliance with FCC regulations. That's crazy. And then there's the limited warranty. How long do I have on this? Oh, 90 days. I guess it's all, you know, about 27 years out of date now. But what was cool is that on the back, literally the last 6 pages of this pamphlet is just, of the instruction booklet, excuse me, is just advertisements. This 6 out of the 30 pages is just advertisements for more of their games. So the regular Jeopardy, Jeopardy Junior Edition, Wheel of Fortune, Wheel of Fortune Junior Edition, then Wheel of Fortune Family Edition, Hollywood Squares, Double Dare. I Can Remember, Perfect Fit. Both of those are Fisher Price games. Family Feud, and then Classic Concentration. Oh, and Super Password. So there's more advertisements. It was like they really crammed a lot into this booklet, just because what else were they going to put in it? They put so much information that's unnecessary. And I apologize if any of that reading the safety precautions was boring, but I kind of found it amusing how much they crammed into this. But in any case, well, thank you all for listening. That kind of wraps up this week's episode. Next week, I have the next game's going, or not next week, sorry, in 2 weeks, the game should be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. Thank you all for listening. Once again, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. It helps get the show a little bit more noticed. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @StillLoadingPod. Thank you all for listening once again, and I will see you next time.